You know, it's so easy to ask why at a time like this. I mean, what happened makes absolutely no sense at all. What happened is so totally unfair. And I think it was perfectly normal for us to wrestle over what in the world has happened and what's going on. I talked to people in the hospital on Friday evening, and for us as an example. Listen to parts of Psalm 88. My life is full of troubles, and death draws near. I'm as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They've left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in the grave. I'm forgotten, cut off from your care. You've thrown me into the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. Your anger weighs me down. With wave after wave, you've engulfed me. You have driven my friends away by making me repulsive to them. I am in a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by my tears. That's inspired scripture. People went through that. People felt that and talked about it to God. Later on in the same Psalm 88, your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have paralyzed me. They swirl around me like floodwaters all day long. They have engulfed me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. That's in Scripture. People talked like that and told God about it in Scripture. And there's this from Psalm 77. I cry out to you, God. Yes, I shout, oh God, that you would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for God. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. Have you ever felt like that? That you're too distressed to even pray. That's in Scripture. Psalm 77 again. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? Have you felt that before? Have you felt things like that? Completely legitimate. And completely legitimate to express that to God. Bill was saying earlier during our time of ACE how important it is to be honest with God. God's got big shoulders. He can handle our emotions. He can handle the things that he knows we feel. You can lay that before him. So let me encourage you, at this time might be a good time to camp out in the Psalms for a while, because you can find a psalm that fits what you're thinking and feeling. Go to the Psalms, read them, and find one and say, Lord, this is how I feel. This is what's going on in my mind. And let me encourage you to complain, to rail, to rant, to say, sick 'em, God, to be angry. But the Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 4 in Ephesians 4 when he says this. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. It's okay to be angry and give that to God and let it go into God's hands. Hopefully you will pray at a time like this. But like the psalmist said earlier, sometimes you just can't even pray. You can moan before God even, and God will, the Holy Spirit will interpret those groans that you have to God. Hopefully you can pray like Psalm 69. Listen to this. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I'm in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted for crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. It's pretty honest. The psalmist goes on in Psalm 69 to say this, but I keep praying to you, Lord, hoping this time you'll show me favor in your unfailing love. Oh God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me. Pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in deep trouble. Come and redeem me. Free me from my enemies. Toward the end of Psalm 69, the psalmist says this, I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. In other words, after being very honest with God, the psalmist tells him exactly what he's feeling. He prays for relief that just doesn't seem to be there. He says, God, if you rescue me, I will praise you. And so to somebody who said to me Friday night, I just don't think I can praise God now. And I said very sincerely, don't worry about that. You just tell God how you feel. Praise can come in the future. Don't worry about that. I think Psalm 23, which Kurt read, is pertinent. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think that's one thing I'm so grateful to God for. His presence in whatever times we're going through. Psalm 34. God is close to the brokenhearted. And one of my prayers for the grocers and all the clan is that they would experience the closeness of God in this. They would recognize God's nearness to them because he weeps with them. I really believe that. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he still wept at the sorrow that those sisters were going through. Jesus feels what we feel. Hopefully we can land on a good place eventually. Don't rush it. Like Psalm 46, where we hear God say this, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Isn't that our prayer? I mean, isn't that what we as believers want? For Lord Jesus to be lifted up. His name to be glorified. He's the King. He's the one who's coming back again to this earth and will reign over all. We want people to see that. And we can pray that and know that he will do that from Psalm 46. So we want Lord Jesus to be honored and glorified in all that's gone on. As horrible as this is, as tragic as this is, we know that God is sovereign and that he can take something horrible and make good things out of it. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that's who our God is. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. Join me in prayer, would you? Lord Jesus, we know that you can cause all things to work together for good. So we ask you to do this now. Lord, take this terrible tragedy and use it in a way that shines the light on Jesus and causes your name to be magnified and your goodness to be seen. Lord, we will be still and know that you are God. Lord, we pray again, and we will pray again and again and again. Lord, be close to the brokenhearted. To Ken and Leanne, and Kayla and the kids, Tony and Danelle, the sisters and brothers. Lord, be close to the brokenhearted. Comfort them, Lord. Comfort them, Lord. Lord, as hard as this is, Lord, we pray for the widow of the shooter, this poor woman, and all that she's gone through, Lord. We ask you to draw near to her and help her to see you and your goodness. Lord, help her to find you in this. Work in her heart and life. Protect her from the enemy and from the shame and guilt and everything else that must be going on in her. Work in her life. Lord, thank you for your church family. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for the sorrow you feel at the pain we're going through. Lord, you're an amazing God. And it's good to worship you. Thank you for what you will do. And we thank you for what you have done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's an excellent morning to, as we had planned, to observe communion, to observe the Lord's sacrifice for us. Bill, you'd come up.
Today we do have communion. We are going to celebrate as a worship to Christ the King. At Chatteray Community Church, we have communion the first Sunday of every month, and this Sunday I think is even more appropriate. We believe that sharing communion is important to the Christian faith. And at Chatteray Community Church, and we believe it's an open communion, meaning that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to share this meal with us. You do not need to be a member, because you're a member of Christ's family. As you know, the history of the first meal, as described in as recorded in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and as addressed in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11. The setting was the night before Jesus was handed over to the Jews and the Romans. They were celebrating Passover together. The meal is now known as the Last Supper because of its timing. That was his Last Supper. I'm going to read the passage in Luke in full as we take the elements. But first, I want to read one verse from Luke chapter 22, and that's verse 19. I want to focus a little bit on that. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." I would like to take a couple of minutes kind of unpacking what does "in remembrance of me" mean. What does it look like? What does it look like to you personally? What do you remember? What do you think of? I could tell you from my perspective what I think, what I remember. I remember that Christ went to the cross and sacrificed his life on my behalf. I remember that Christ continually provides forgiveness for my sins. I remember that he ascended to the right hand of the Father and intercedes for me. I remember the miracle of my salvation and the salvation of others that I know. I remember that he's provided me the way to everlasting life. And because of these memories, I can remember and am thankful for the hope he has given me as I go through life and experience the tragedies of this fallen world. Because of that, I can grasp and hold on to that hope. I encourage you to take time this morning to honor our Lord and Savior by remembering him in your own way. Take it to heart. Remember him as we do communion together. Gentlemen. Now I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, as we have done. For I tell you, I will not drink again from this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is the body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take the bread. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Thank you, Lord. I would like at this time to read a blessing out of Romans chapter 15, and it's verse 13 if you want to look it up. It's a wonderful blessing. Before I do read this blessing, it has the word joy in it. As you hear that word joy, please look at it as the depth of joy that we have in Christ, not that fleeting feeling of joy and happiness some people confuse that with. So, that said, Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That concludes our service. If you've got any burdens, if you are seeking God's comfort, please come forward. We've got fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord that will pray with you and welcome you here. And for others who want to, we've got refreshments and opportunity for fellowship across the hall. You are dismissed.